Who had a bad day today? Hard day? Bad day? Okay. All right. Well, I was going home down St. Francis Drive and my master cylinder on my brakes went out. And it was 3:30, right? So I was like, I put on my emergency, put it in low gear and try to go from San Mateo all the way to the end of St. Francis, you know, hitting the lights and without hitting somebody. And I made it home. So I got home and I said, oh, just what I need, you know, because tomorrow I got to work. And I said, oh, I'll just have to take time. I'll fix my truck. And then I got in the house and I was getting ready. And I went through my Bible and I wasn't having a bad day at all. Because I had been praying for these and some of the church has too. And I don't know, even you might even be here, I don't know. But this person put in the prayer request a few weeks ago. He says, please pray for my cousin Edwin. He has survived a rare form of bladder cancer, then leukemia. Now he has a blockade in his large colon. His wife just survived a brain aneurysm. They've been through so much. And I read that and I said, hey, I had a good day. I had a good day. So we need to lift up Edwin and his wife. And then our brother Juan, he's going in for some lab work because his white blood cell count is way too high. And he's, if you know Juan, you think he's like a carefree guy, right? But I think this might have him a little worried. See, he says, I'm very worried. Please, your prayers are needed. And I read those two, and I got in the shower. I said, Lord, I'm not having a bad day at all. I'm having a good day. But let's remember our brother Edwin and our brother Juan. Those of you who know Juan, he's up here on the worship team on Sundays. And so we just want to lift them up, you know. And maybe you're going through something today. I don't know. But God knows, and he does care. You know, he does care about what you're going through. How, if it's just your master cylinder that went out, or if it's something, you know, more devastating, relational, health-wise, whatever it is, I know this, that God cares. And let's pray for these guys. Heavenly Father, I just lift up Edwin. I lift up Juan. Lord, you know the circumstances they're facing. I just pray that you comfort them and that they would feel your presence with them, Lord God, with them and their family as they go through these situations. Lord, and just we ask for miracles, Lord, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was studying for this week, you know, I really didn't have any urgency about anything specific, you know, and I almost called Pete and said, hey, Pete, why don't you preach, you know, on Men of Valor? Because Pete, you know, he's the senior pastor, and he has to speak a lot, so I didn't want to put that pressure on him. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm not in a good place. I'm not really advancing. How many of you felt that you're just stuck? You know, I've been a Christian since I was 21. I'm 66. So, you know, 45 years, and usually when I'm going to get up here to speak, I have a burden of something that God wants me to say. Sometimes I don't want to say it, and he puts it on you and says, you got to say it. And I said, no, I don't want to tell those guys this, you know, or if it's on Sunday, if Pete asked me to fill in. But this time, it was like really hard, you know, and I was like, and I think you guys who've spoken before know, you get there and you get a block, and you're like, Lord, I'm praying, I'm reading the word, and it's just like, what do you want me to do? I'm just stuck, you know, and God hasn't gone anywhere. If anybody moved, it was me, you know. I just got off track a little bit, and, you know, you just get lazy. You stop reading the word. You stop praying as much as you should. And, you know, I try to pray every day. I try to read the word every day, and then sometimes you go 2-3 days and not read, and then you get it. I was telling Pete the other day, you take 28 days to develop a good habit. If you stick with it for 28 days, you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. To break that habit takes you 3 days. Those of you guys know we were having men's Bible study on Tuesday morning, men's prayer on Friday morning, and then we decided not to do that anymore because we're just trying to see what direction God wants us to go. And Pete asked me the other day, do you miss coming on Tuesday? Well, for about 3 days. And then it was like, that was God, you know. it didn't really affect me that much anymore. But I do get up early and I read the Word. And so I was up early the other day, and I just was reading the psalm, the proverb for the day. What I do is I read a psalm and a proverb from day 1 to day 30 of the month, Psalm 1, Proverbs 1. And it was the 16th of February. So I was reading Proverbs 16, and God said, speak on that. You know, because it's not me, it's Him, it's His Word. He says, my word, I'll send it where I want to send it, and it will not return to Him void. You know, I might get up here and just bore you to death or whatever. In fact, Pete told me I had to be done by 9:45. So anyway, no, not really. Anyway, and so it's His word. God said, I sent my word to heal them. And it's His word that's the important thing. It's not, you know, the Bible even says this. He values His word more than His name. And so the word of God is just foremost. So let's look at chapter 16. We're going to spend a little time, verses 1 through 9. Okay, I'm reading out of the New American Standard. Up here on the screen is the New King James, and I'll read both of them. In the New American Standard, it says this, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So you read that and you're going, okay, what does that really mean? So the preparations or the plans, this is what it means. That word preparations means plans, actions, motives, a way of thinking, and the original, it comes from this original word that means to arrange, to set things in a row. Okay? So when you're thinking about your life and how you're going to treat relationships, your work, people around you, your finances, whatever, God said, okay, do you think about it? Do you arrange? Now the engineers do. Okay, I know Ray's an engineer. Clyde's kind of like a OCD guy. You know, he's like, right. And some a musician kind of has to be that way, right? Apollo, you gotta. Okay, you're gonna learn this. You gotta start here and go more and more until you get the whole thing down and all. So, God is saying, this is what He's saying. Your plans, your actions, your motives, your way of thinking, you are responsible for that. And you know, sometimes my thinking is stinking. You know what? You guys been there? Stinking thinking, yeah. But what does He say there? Okay, that's your responsibility. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So the next word there, the way of thinking, okay, comes from the word heart. And now, you know, we think our heart as right here, the pumps our blood, okay? But that's not what He's talking about. When they thought of heart, they thought of right here, because that's where you feel, you know how you feel emotions? If you feel sick or you feel excited, it starts like right here. I don't know why, but that's where it starts. But it really has to do with your emotions and your mental outlook and your attitude. So it's your heart is your way of thinking. How do you think about things? And when you come to know Christ, most of us have to do a 180 on our way of thinking. Okay? Because it wasn't lined up. His thoughts are way above our thoughts. So we thought about things, you know, we thought about women, we thought about money, we thought about cars or whatever the way we thought about them. It was probably completely contrary to the way God would want us to think. So when you became a Christian, I'm sure God has worked with you on your thinking, your way of thinking. I know He has me, okay? So that responsibility lies with us, okay? In other words, it says, the plans of the heart, your way of thinking, your preparation, belong to the man. That means you have to own it. If your thinking's good, you better own it. If your thinking's bad, own it. When my thinking is bad, I can tell you that I find out pretty fast from my wife. We've been married 42, going on 43 years. And because we spend all the, you know, all day together, all night together, if your thing is bad, the person closest to you is going to. Now, you guys that are single, Alan said, all the good food. He said that's the one thing. Did you say the one thing or one of the things? We try to give them a hard time about that. But I mean, see, so that person closest to you knows, and you have to own it. And so when I'm going the wrong way, and God's trying to pull me back on track, my wife notices right away. And those people around me, you know, the ones closest to me notice it. And, you know, they don't want to say anything. They're like, you know, do I tell him anything? Do I let God work on him? Or what do I do? But God, he has a way. If you're sensitive to God, he has a way of saying, hey, you're off track, buddy. You got to get back on track. And that's hard to do, because once you start going off, it's easy to just keep going that way. But you start here, and pretty soon you're way out there. Like they say, you're way out there in left field. So it says right here, you know, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. In other words, he's going to tell you how to act. Then you have a choice. He's going to tell you how to speak, and then we have a choice. If I'm upset with someone and they approach me about that issue, I have a choice to make. Am I going to answer this way, or am I going to answer God's way? Okay? And if it's a stranger, it's not a big deal, you know, because you're usually kind to strangers because you don't know if they have a gun or whatever, you know. So you just got to die. But those closest to you, you don't care what they feel or how they're feeling or if they had a bad day. You don't care. You just answer roughly, you know. So, in other words, you prepare, and then God tells you, okay, this is the way to go. This is the way to speak. This is the way to act. But it's your choice. It's our responsibility. Okay. We are responsible to live by God's standards. Okay, that's his word. It'll tell you in the word how to handle your finances, how to treat your kids, how to all kinds of things. If you read the word, it'll tell you. And then it's our responsibility to live by his standards. Okay, let's go to verse 2. And this is very typical. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. And in my version, it says, the Lord weighs the motives. Okay? So, right there, that word, all the ways of man, that's our preparation, our way of thinking. That's referring back to verse 1. I don't care who you are, and I think this way. When I make a decision, I think it's the best decision. When I've done something in the past, I thought it was the best thing to do, even though I might have been wrong, right? If you're honest with yourself, the way you think, everybody should think that way. The way you do stuff, everybody should do stuff the way you do it, right? The way you look, everybody should look that way. No. Well, maybe if you're like, you know what? No, there's nobody here, sorry. Okay. Anyway, okay. So you have to realize that not all our ways are pure, but they are in our own mind. But the Lord weighs the motives. So when you do something or you treat someone some way, and you know, if you're like a politician, you try to say it in a certain way and you try to make yourself look good or whatever, but the Lord really knows the motives of your heart, right? Just like now, in the legislature, they're passing all these bills, and they make the title seem like this is really good for you. But then if you read all the stuff underneath, then you realize this is not good. This is going way against God, okay? But the title seems like it's really good. But that's the way we are when we do stuff, say stuff, you know. But God weighs the motives. And when you have that check, when you have that, you know, maybe I shouldn't say that, maybe I shouldn't do this, it's because your motives are wrong, okay? So it says there, the Lord weighs. He measures it. He's like this, and he's seeing where you're going, listening to what you're saying, and he's listening to what we're thinking, and he's weighing it out. And hopefully he's not saying like he did to Belshazzar, you've been weighed in the scale, and you're way short. You come up short, okay? And we come up short a lot, okay? But if he knows your heart, if your motives are pure, you know, he knows that. He knows us. Okay, verse 3. So this is the title of the message, Commit Your Ways to the Lord. Verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. In this version, it says the same thing. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. So the word commit there, it has the connotation of just rolling it over to Jesus. Just rolling over to Jesus. What does that mean? That means that you're going to do the best of your ability to do everything God's way. And if you say in your heart, I'm going to try to do everything in my life God's way, what does it say? The way you walk, in life, your actions, your thoughts, your transactions, your activity, they'll be established by God. That means your plans, everything, God will bless it. It'll have God's blessing upon it. Okay? And you look back at your life and you can say, how can that have been God's blessing? Sometimes we don't understand, you know, we don't know, but he knows. So your works, another good word for that is your thoughts. That's where that word comes from, thoughts. In the other one it says works, but your thoughts will be established. I don't think we realize how much our thought life impacts who we are in God's eyes, okay? Right here, man, I'm way wanting in that area, okay? I'm like this. So, but God is very important to God. Look at this in verse 4. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. What is that saying? Maybe you feel like, you know, I'm already 30, what, are you around 36? I'm already 36 years old. He's a baby, man. I'm 66. And I feel like I'm going nowhere, like I'm spinning my wheels, right? But if you commit your thoughts to the Lord, your ways to the Lord, he's going to establish you. And you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. But what does it say there? Because he has made you for his own purpose. He made you for himself. Think about that. He made you for himself. That's pretty awesome. He made us for himself, okay? And look what it says there. And if you go against everything God stands for, like if you say I'm an atheist, I don't believe God in God. Like the other day, we watched this movie called The Theory of Everything. Anybody see that movie? It's about Stephen Hawking, that guy who, and when he was a young man, he was brilliant, and then he came down with Lou Gehrig's disease, and it just wasted his body, but his mind was still there, and he became world famous. When he came down with the disease, the doctor told him he would only live 2 years, and he lived to be 70-some years old. He lived a long life, but he didn't believe in God. And his wife did. It was amazing. He married a woman who believed in God. And they got a divorce later on in life. But he wanted to acknowledge God at some point, but he just couldn't get there. He was too much thinking about, in his mind, about how everything was pure in his own eyes. That's what I got from the movie. I don't know if that's true. But anyway, So he, God made him for himself. And if he rejected God that whole time, that day of doom means the day of judgment. And that's pretty scary. So God knows. Okay, he knows us. He knows the wicked. He knows. Look at verse 5. Look at this. This is a pretty amazing verse. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not go unpunished. Look at this. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. And in the last days, what does it say about man? Man will be proud, arrogant, lovers of pleasure, lovers of self, more than lovers of God. Okay? And it's easy for us believers to look down on them, right? But no, we can't do that. We can't do that because then we're being proud. Hey, man, look at me. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I preach at church. I go to church on Sunday. Hey, that's proud. What does it say about that? Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to God. So if I start getting on my soapbox, my high horse, God, what does it say? Hey, God will knock you down really fast. Okay. Verse 6. Look at this. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So that first part, you know what that's talking about? Not just mercy and truth when you give it out, but that's talking about Christ's sacrifice on the cross. How did he atone for our iniquity? Because of his mercy and his truth, he went to the cross, okay? And it's also characteristics that we can develop in our own life. If someone sins against you, you know how you have to respond at some point? With mercy and truth. Why? Because your atonement, there was an atonement that provided for your iniquity and my iniquity. And I heard this today. This guy was saying, they were asking him, well, how can I forgive that person because they really hurt me? And they were talking to people that had been abused sexually when they were kids. They were talking to people who had been divorced by a spouse. They were talking to people who children had been murdered by someone else. And yet all these people found a way to forgive. And their answer was, because I was forgiven, I can forgive. And that's easy to say from here, but that's hard to live. It's hard to live, but that's what we have to do. That's the way we have to, because Christ deserved nothing of what he got on the cross. And yet, for you and for me, he willingly went to that cross. And the fear of the Lord keeps one away from evil. How many of you, besides Mark, got called to the principal's office when you were in school? I know Mark did. I can just imagine him. Cesarus, are you in here again? My goodness. You too, Jay? Oh, Jay, I can't believe that. You're on the worship team? Oh, man. Follow you. What? So, you know, when you went there, it was, to be honest with you guys, when I was a senior, I actually got swats from the high school principal. Three of us went out. We were late from lunch. We all three went in separately, and I'll tell a different story. So we all got swats. And so that fear will keep you from going in there again, okay? Even when you're a 17-year-old senior and you think you know everything. So, but that fear of the Lord, that respect, that reverence for him will keep you away from evil. Okay? Verse 7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And sometimes that comes hard, but you know what that means? That means that you can sleep at night with a clear conscience. I love sleep, man. And my wife gets mad at me. She goes, you put your head on the pillow and you're gone. And I say, I'm sorry. But you know what? If you have a clear conscience, you're at peace. And in this world, let me tell you, a lot of people don't have peace. They don't sleep at night because they're thinking of ways to get back at people, and they think of the things they did, and there's no peace. But if you're a believer and you do it God's way, you're going to have peace at night. Okay? And you're still going to have enemies. It's right there. It says right there, your enemies. You're still going to have enemies, but your mind and your heart will be at peace. Okay? Okay, verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. We are the most prosperous nation that's ever been on this planet, right? And what did the rich man say? I think it was, I don't know if it was Rockefeller or one of those guys. They asked him, how much money does it take to make you happy? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more, right? And maybe the guy who has the least salary here, compared to the rest of the world, you're in the top 10%, okay? Because if you have never been to some of the other parts of the world, let me tell you, we are so blessed here. But better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. See, that means that money's not going to solve all your problems. We all think a little more money will help me do this. No, it's the righteousness of God, not money. Okay, here's our closing verse. Verse 9. Goes back to verse 1. The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. So what he's saying here is, I'm giving you a choice. You're not a robot, and I don't want a robot. This is the way I want you to go, and how you're going to get there, plan it out. I remember being a principal of a school, and the worst thing that parents did for their kids was to always bail them out of trouble and always have a plan for them and never let them figure it out for themselves. So that's why they're still living in the basement and they're 40. Okay. All right. Anyway. And so God is saying, look, this is the way I want you to do it, but I want you to be my partner in this. I don't want a robot. I want you to figure it out. You know what the word says. And how do you figure it out? You pray and you read the word. You pray and you read the word. You read the word and you pray. Okay, that's how you figure it out. And you listen to the Holy Spirit. Pretty simple, right? It's pretty simple. God made it pretty simple. Read, pray, pray, read. And he'll show you the way to go. And he'll direct your steps. That's amazing. He lets you be a part of what he's doing in this world. He lets you be in charge of your life. Okay? And we think we're in control, but he wants us just to be a partner with him. He doesn't want a robot, okay? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for each man here, Lord God. And whatever situations they're going through, Lord God, whether they're struggling in their mind, in their emotions, Lord God, in their physical body, in their finances, in their relationships, Lord, help them to commit their way, their plans, their preparation of their life, of their daily life, their weekly life, their monthly life, the rest of it. Help them to commit that to you, Lord God. And you will direct their steps, Lord God. And you will make their enemies even to be at peace with them, Lord God. And you will open doors and you will shut doors that they don't need to be going through, Lord God. And you will provide all that they need, Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.